Today we're going to talk about something that saved my butt so many times on the mat, it's not even funny. I think it'll be a really valuable concept for you to use in your own training. And helping me today, as he did last week, is Richie, who's taking a break from MMAMethod.com for a minute to come out and help. So, thanks a lot. Today, we're going to talk about being on top of a guy in guard. Basically, almost all his attacks, almost all the bad things that can happen to me, rely on him doing one of three things. It can rely on him, or bad things happen if he moves his hips out and moves his head closer to my knee. If he moves his head closer to here and his hips out there, this is bad for me. I mean, he can get a high guard, he can go for an arm bar here, he can go for a flower sweep, right? None of which is good, all of which relies on him moving his hip out laterally this way. Other bad things can happen if he rotates his hips like this. If he can get onto one, basically he's on one butt cheek now, and he's rotated like that. And say he gets an overhook here, this is bad. He can start going for a triangle choke here. He can start going for an omoplata. This is bad. If he wants to get fancy, he can go for a V arm lock here, or a Frank Mir lock. All those rely on him not being flat. He has two shoulders and two butt cheeks on the ground right now, or two hips. If he rolls onto his side, so it's one shoulder and one hip, bad for me. Another thing that's bad is if he manages to get off of his shoulders and sits up. If he moves away like this, and I stay here, he can guillotine choke me, he can set up a kimura, he can do a hip buck sweep, he can do all kinds of terrible things, right? So I don't want his hips moving out, I don't want his hips rotating, and I don't want his hips moving away from me and him sitting up. So can I use this information to my own advantage? Of course I can. So the simplest way, I think, to show this is just to start with a little drill. You can use different hand positions for this drill, it doesn't matter. I'm just gonna start with hands on biceps because it's a nice universal position, works gi and no gi. But the grip here, the posture of my arms is sort of irrelevant. What Richie's gonna do is he's gonna move his hips out to the side. Here, just like that. See how he's got an angle on me? I'm just gonna shuffle to the side and square him up. If he goes out to the other side, I just move over here and square it up. This works whether he does the rotational thing, whether he moves like this, moves his head, and say starts setting up the arm bar. I turn and spin, or do there. I turn and spin. Or he starts rotating his body, like get on one butt cheek, there we go. If I move sideways, I can flatten him out. What I'm doing here, and it's hard to see, it's easy to feel. See how my knees are here? They're caging his hips. I'm going to be squeezing in slightly. If you just look without being really aware of this, it doesn't look any different. If I'm loose here, move your hips please, Richie. See how we can move to the side, move to that side. I'm going to change it very subtly. Here, move your hips to the side. He can, but it's a lot harder. I'm just pinching in with my inner thighs on his hips, and I've got slight caging going on here as well. So yeah, sure, he can eventually move his hips past that. It's not a bomb-proof solution, but I've just increased the amount of work he has to do. I'm not giving him this hip movement. He has to now really work for it. So play with this with your training partners. We're here, get him to move, and then go back, and then nobody else watching will be able to tell what you're doing, but I'm just here. I'm just hunkered down a little bit more, and I'm pinching in with my knees. Richie feels it. Your partner will feel it. When your partner does it to you, you'll be able to feel it. This leads us right into blocking the guy's hip with your knee. Let's say you've screwed up. Let's say he's got the arm drag or something, and he's starting to back climb, right? He's trying to move here all the way to my back. right? We're here. Oh God, this is terrible. Let's say I'm completely out of position with my arms here. I can still control his hips. I can bring this foot up. We're here. So I've done two things now. One is I put a barrier in his way. He can't just climb to my back. He's got to climb over a, 18-inch barrier, hop his hips up. That's hard. And the second thing, this is hard to see but easy to feel, is I pinch in with my knee into his hip. So I'm here, I'm in terrible position, but I'm blocking his hip here with my knee. This allows me to circle towards there. My arms are still out of position, but at least he's no longer getting the angle. Now I can work on getting my arm out. He gets an extreme angle on the other side. We're here. Every time I move towards him, he just escapes his hips. Escape your hips. Escape your hips. So what I need something to stop him from escaping his hips further. I'm going to step up here. Here, the knee goes in the hip. And I push down, and it stops him from escaping his hips further in that direction, and buys me the time that I need to roll him flat. So again, we've got a super simple drill. He's just going to arm drag me and start back climbing. I'm going to hug this arm. See, I'm going to take it and I'm going to crush down. I'm going to basically paper cutter it between my forearm and my bicep. Not a great position, but still better than nothing. And I'm going to step up and I'm going to drive him down, work my arm out. Your arm drags the other side. We're here. I'm going to trap the arm, at least make it a bit harder for him to get some mobility. Step up here and then drive down with the knee. It's a subtle movement, but it's a really important one. I'm going to just show it. In the first drill, say this is my position, all I did was move like this to adjust to how he moved his hips. Now, I'm so totally out of position, I have to step like this. I drive in with this knee and use that to circle. Where I'm here, I'm totally out of position the other side. I step up, I drive in, and then I circle. Two subtle ways to control the hips and get yourself out of trouble. So the two techniques or applications of the concept I've covered so far deal with lateral hip movement. But you can also control the person's movement up and down and away from you. So let me show you what I mean. Let's say, here's a technique. All right, let's say he's got a really good guard. He's got a really good tough to pass guard. Here's a technique that I like to do. I'm gonna give him the armbar. I mostly do this no gi, but you can do this with the gi as well. I'm gonna give him my arm. I'm not going to be really obvious about it, like here, because he'll know something's up. I'm just gonna put my arm into a position where he could maybe armbar it, and my other hand is gonna go lightly on the hip. If I really push down here, he's again gonna know something's up. If he's wearing a gi, I'll confirm the grip just by grabbing the material, but there's no pressure yet. If Richie's gonna armbar me, he's gotta pivot, and he's gotta lift his hips. You see how his hips come up here and attack with the armbar? Oh, damn. If he doesn't lift his hips, just spin and don't lift your hips, please, Richie, and do a bad armbar. It's a common beginner error. There's no armbar here at all, right? My arm can, there's not even a fulcrum on the elbow, and I can just pull my arm out anyway. So he's gotta lift his hips up in order to attack my arm. So I've got this hip controlled ever so gently, and I've got my arm in position. I'm suggesting, oh, damn, I screwed up. I gave him the position. Now, as he goes for the armbar, I am going to, exactly, as he's swinging that leg, so go back, I'm gonna stiff arm this hip down. I'm going to do a one arm bench press, I guess that'd be a dumbbell press, to push his hip flat on the ground. I'm gonna leave my arm in position, armbar me, please. Not gonna happen, because his hips are flat on the ground. At the same time, I lawnmower my arm out. Even if I don't get it, I should be safe because I'm controlling the hip. So we're here, lightly, lightly, lightly. There. I pull out and I pin the hip. Now I've got a variety of choices on how to pass the guard. The most obvious, if he's come this far, would be to come underneath, control the far shoulder, or grab the lapel, drive in, and pass the guard like that. So what that looks like from another angle, we're here. I just can't open this guy's guard. So close your guard. We're here. I just can't open. Lightly control. We're here. And head this way, same arm. We're here. The key to that is controlling his up and down movement of the hips. So, does this apply in other situations? Of course it does. Let's take that stacking guard pass that we worked on from a defensive point of view last week, and I sort of, the guard pass I just showed is semi-related. There's a lot of little details here if you're doing the leg on shoulder or the stacking guard pass or the smashing guard pass. Different people call it different things. Different subtleties about the positioning. You don't want to be down here in the crook of the guy's knee. You want to be up here on the calf. You want to be driving forward and be bringing his knee into his face, basically. So we're here. Gi or no gi, I'm just going to go, since he's wearing a gi, I'm going to grab thumb in. Exact same concept. If I'm grabbing behind the head here or across the shoulder, which is my preference. But even here, if he's elevated, he can move his hips. So he can still move side to side a little bit. He can start doing all this kung fu neck lock business. Yeah, you know, bad things. He can go back. We're here. He might be able to put both hands on his knees and push away, right? So extending his hips, getting his hips a little bit closer to the ground, you know, basically working to eventually get his hips back down to the ground. Or he can put his head to one side and do a backward somersault over here and either pull guard or come forward for the tackle. And that guard pass didn't turn out too well for me, did it? I started out with a guard pass, I was in a good position. He rolled away and now tackled me. Or alternately, since we're here, maybe more commonly, but still good, here, and he just pulls guard on me again right here, right? So I got nowhere with that. So if I control his hips, even though they're in midair, this is a good thing. I don't need to pin them on the ground, I just need to control them. So we're here, and I've driven in until his hips come up off the ground. No gi, I can control his hips with my knee. This is almost like caging the hips laterally, but this makes it a lot harder for him to do all the manipulations that he needs to do to prevent me from passing the guard. With the gi, or if you can grab the shorts, there's even more options. If I take this hand and I grab the shorts, or if I grab the belt or the hem, where's the belt here? I'll just grab the pants, that's fine. Now I've really got control. If he starts rolling backwards over his shoulder, I push down. If he starts extending me away, I lift up. So I'm using this movement here, up and down, to stop him. If he's moving up, I push down. If he's moving down, I pull up. If he's moving this way, I pull this way. It's not going anywhere. I can keep it under control. And then I use this to lift. And if it's with the gi, you know what? I'm going to choke him right here. That's an under, I mean, for those of you who do gi, that's an awful choke. Because the guy on the bottom is going, all right, he's past my guard. Why is he not doing the last step of the guard? And then he taps out. So I think the first, when I was a white belt or a blue belt, I caught a brown belt in this. And this technique is always stuck in my mind because it was my first, you know, the fighter planes have got the little signs of how many Japanese fighters you've shot down. I'm sure the Japanese had how many American fighters they'd shot down. Well, that was my first little brown belt that I tapped out on the side of my fighter plane. So we're here because I'm controlling the hips. And I've got this deep grip. I can hold him in the air, and I can drop my elbow, and I can crush him, and I can choke him out there. No gi, you know, I can cup the hip here with my hand, put my knee in here so he can't get that hip back down to the ground. I control the back shoulder here. I drive in, drive in, drive in, and I pass. Not very likely to choke him from there, but I'm very likely to pass. So as you can see, I'm caging the hips there in midair. One other example of how you're going to control the hips sort of an up and down, forwards and backwards direction rather than a rotational direction is, do you just do the basic butterfly guard sweep on me? On the DVD that I sent you at the beginning of the course, the 13 Techniques DVD, I showed the basic butterfly guard sweep. Super powerful sweep. The guy sits up, gets an underhook, clamps the arm, and I go over. Bad for me, good for him. But what's he doing there? He's sitting up, so by the fact he's sitting up, he's got much more mobility to adjust to me. If I go this way, he can adjust. If I stand up, he can scoot forward, he can move back. Whereas if he's lying flat on his back in butterfly guard here, it's harder. He's got much more surface area touching the mat, more friction. And if I go here, it takes him longer to adjust. As opposed to sitting on his butt, he can pivot. Also, by sitting up, he can now develop momentum, right? If he's sitting up and he falls over doing the sweep, he can put that momentum to work sweeping me. So I don't want him sitting up. This is all preamble to what I'm actually talking about. So I find myself facing an opponent who's in a sitting up butterfly guard. One strategy, it's not the only strategy, but one good strategy is to take your hands in, elbows in. You don't want him to give him the underhook. And I basically sumo wrestle him forward, right? So I turn sideways here, come a bit here. Elbows in, I don't want to give him the underhook. I don't want to give him the arm drag, right? Both those things are bad. Elbows in, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I'm going to pummel him backwards. Now he's flat, but now he can still move his hips sideways. He can get his feet out, all kinds of horrible things. So after pummeling him backwards, I'm going to move my knees up here. And what I'm doing is I'm clamping his heel to his butt. I'm trying to kill this play here. To stop him from moving away, I'm going to bring my elbows down here. Basically, my elbows are touching my knees on both sides. I'm pulling back with my elbows, I'm driving forward with my knees, caging his hips, and I can also use my head in the middle of his chest to stop him from sitting up. If he does try and sit up, I drive in. Some people like this guard pass so much, or that position so much rather, that when they're doing a stand-up guard pass, they're just fighting, say, standard open guard here, they take both ankles, they drive it down, and they collapse on top of it, and they control it. So they've actually forced themselves into butterfly guard, but it's a crappy butterfly guard. So the guy's flat on his back with his hips controlled. From here, there's lots of guard passes you can do. The simplest one, and just the one I'm gonna do today, is we're here, I'm gonna move this leg a little bit back, give him space. Aren't I a nice guy? But what I actually wanna do is create room to bring my hand over his leg and grab his foot here. You see this right there? That's what I'm trying to grab. Once I've got that here, I grab his head or his gi, depending what I'm doing, and I sprawl backwards. Now I'm gonna keep on pulling this foot, pulling this head, and keeping basically in a complete sprawl, lying on my belly. Circle around here, and then drive in. On the other side, sit up please, or just do the whole sequence. This is just a technique, it's not the only technique, but it illustrates nicely how caging your opponent's hips can put you into an advantageous position and then use that, capitalize on that to pass the guard. So we're here, I pummel him down flat. Drive forward, pull back. Give him space on the far side, you can't really see that. Take my arm up to this foot, control the neck, grab the gi, whichever, sprawl back. Inch around. You see how my hips are completely flat. This way, even if he's hooking with his far leg, it's not a very strong hook. He might get it. I don't care. He's not going to be able to hook very well. I pass and I drive in. So that's using the principle of caging the hips to defeat the butterfly guard. You can use it against the open guard. You can use it against in the middle of a guard pass. You can use it against the closed guard. You can use it against the butterfly guard. Use it all the time. Bad things happen to you when your opponent moves his hips, so use any means, fair or square, to stop those hips from moving, and you'll have improved your position and your situation. One more example of how controlling the hips is super important
when you're on top of someone in their guard, in this case, closed guard. One of the most basic ways to open someone's guard is to establish posture here and here, or here and here, depending on who's telling you to establish posture. I'll just go here and here for now, it doesn't really matter. If I put a knee in the middle, can you move this hand? I put a knee in the middle or put a knee on one buttock and step the other foot out here. Now by sitting back and by, close again please, arching my back and by twisting my body and by pushing down with the elbow all at once. I'm doing all those four things at once in one kind of twisting, backsliding, down pushing movement. I pop his legs open, right? The reason it pops open is because my knee here is blocking his body from following me and I'm moving my body back. So his legs, unless they're stupidly long, they have to open. But you can get into trouble against a canny opponent because let's say I'm here and I'm here and I'm going back. He could do what I call a ski jump. See how he lifted his hips up? Now my knee is here, nowhere near his butt, and I have nothing to push against to move back. Let's do that again. So we're here, what I want is my knee roughly here. But what he did is he popped his hips up on top of my, so he's now sitting on top of my thigh, and I can't create that motion anymore. And it can get even worse if he slides his hips off, no, keep him locked please, Richie. So here I'm trying to do this. Instead of popping them up, he's gonna pop them sideways past my knee. My knee's not pushing and I'm totally out of balance here. And you know, worst case scenario, you can take my back, roll me over, or just freak me out and put me in a bad position where now I'm reacting frantically. The solution, as you probably guessed it, based on the theme of the lesson, is to control his hips. If I'm here and I've got this posture and say I'm pushing down, what's stopping him from ski jumping? Well, it's the downward pressure here. If I don't have downward pressure, just lift your hips up and down, perfect. He can ski jump. If I push down here, lift up, much harder. Now I've got something that I can, and I've got his hips pinned, so my knee can actually act as a point to push away, and I open up. Not only that, but the hips are pinned, so even though this arm is forward, I mean, I could theoretically do this here, he can't armbar me very easily because I've got the hips pinned to the ground. No hips pinned, instant armbar, right? Whoa. So we've covered caging your opponent's hips mostly when you're on your knees. You can also cage your opponent's hips when you're standing up. And I'm gonna cover that later in the course in a few modules time, I think. So just keep in mind for now that yes, you can cage your opponent's hips when you're standing as well. And it's a really important part of passing your opponent's guard and not getting armbarred, not getting knee-barred, not getting foot-locked, and bad things happening to you when you're standing up. So keep your eye open for that, and just keep that in the back of the mind. File it away for future reference. Also, if you scroll down on the page, I'm giving you today a little video I did on Brock Lesnar's tactics when he fought Frank Mir at UFC 100. You might have seen this video before, but I think it's really valuable, and now it's in a downloadable format, so you can download it on your player and take it with you to your training session and work through it there if you want. It's not exactly caging the hips, but basically the half guard relies on turning to face your opponent and getting your hips underneath your opponent's. And what Brock Lesnar did was about 10 different ways to stop those two things from happening. He kept on flattening Frank Mir out, or even making him look the other way, and he stopped the hips from getting underneath his own hips. So it's a related topic, and that's why I'm including it for you today. Next week, we're going to go back to the ABCs. We're going to look at attack by combination and look at some of my favorite combinations and how to drill combinations and how to include combinations in your training to make you a more effective grappler and to really start nailing those submissions on your partners. So, see you next week.